Yes, everybody. Another week, another Hidden Mentality episode. Quick disclaimer, I am wearing Invisalign aligners right now for the intro, so I do have a lisp, and I'm speaking like a bit of a moron, but whatever. Today, we have a close friend of mine, Mr. Aaron Au. Aaron's credibility is that he is a great mate of mine, so that should show you what a cool guy he is, because I'm a cool guy, you know? Anyway, all jokes aside, Aaron is a devoted Christian, and in my pursuit of learning more about the world and how I could be the best version of myself, I thought, why not talk to him? Because I'm sure there are some good things I can learn from Christianity and having faith. So, here's what we're diving into today. What does it mean to find faith, and how can belief, no matter what form it takes, help us grow? In this episode, we dive into the journey of discovering faith and tackle some big questions. What makes a higher power worth believing in? Can faith actually make us better people? We explore how to stay motivated while trusting a bigger plan, finding the balance between gratitude and pride, and whether belief in the afterlife changes how we live in the moment. Tune in as we break down the doubts, challenges, and rewards of building a personal faith that truly empowers us. Jesus, that was a bloody hard intro to do because of my lisp. But with that being said, like every single time, please help me welcome Aaron Au. Aaron, mate, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, bro. I'm excited, man.
Mate, this is the first ever, I told you before, but this is the first ever in-person podcast.
First in person.
By me.
4K camera. Action. Look at the mics.
My camera, my mics.
This is big time.
Big time, buddy. Big time.
Seriously.
Oh, it's Super Bowl coming up.
Yeah, Super Bowl.
You going to church that day or no?
I am, yeah.
You are? What time?
It's in the morning. It's at 11. So.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock, yeah.
And you said it's on 82nd Street?
82nd Street.
Was that like 30 minutes away?
Yeah, like 30 minutes subway. It's chill.
When's the Super Bowl again?
Like what time?
Yeah.
Like, I want to say 6:30.
Oh, so like, church takes up how long then?
We probably end around like 12:30, leave at like 1 to 1:30, kind of depending on.
That's a good commitment though.
Yeah, for chill there.
Every week as well, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you, do you feel like, you know when you go to church, right?
Yeah.
I know in the movies and all that, like, you know when the kids like hate going to church? Like,
yeah.
It's like that like classic stigma, like, why, mom, why do you have to go to bloody church? Do you feel like it was more of an obligation growing up?
I wouldn't say that. I'd say I enjoyed it, but because I had friends there, you know.
Oh, like, so you actually saw it more as like a social gathering.
Yeah, especially when I was younger. Like, I literally just went. Well, I wouldn't say only went, but a good reason why I went was because I already had a lot of friends there. And like, you've known them like your whole life growing up in the church. So like, they become like really close. So like, I definitely enjoyed it more when they were there. And like, when the times that they didn't show up, it was like, you know, I probably didn't have as much fun. But
how does it feel now though? You're in a different church.
Yeah,
now obviously you grew up in California.
Right.
So
Now it's completely different. Like, I'm not going because my parents are going. Like, they're not here, obviously. So I had to go find a church here. And I found a really great one that, you know, with people that I really get along with and that I enjoy hanging out with. So, dude, it's like probably the highlight of my week, just hanging out with them all the time.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, that's a big part of the church. You know, obviously it's good to, you know, learn and grow in your relationship with Christ, but a lot of it is the relationships you build there. You know, like, you have to be with, you know, you have to get along with the people there, because those are the people that are going to be with you, you know, forever, if that's your church, and they can help you and you can help them. So a big part of the church, and, you know, it's important that you find a church that has people you get along with, you know, along with, you know, what the pastor preaches, of course, but it is a big part of it, the relationships you build.
And you see all kinds of different people, don't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of people there. It's different from the church. Like, back home, my church is like all Asians, so it's completely different to have.
Is like the community was just Asian?
It was like labeled as a Chinese church, but they have like different services. But yeah, like, they were all Chinese, and then here it's completely different. Like, people from all over the states and like different backgrounds, so it's pretty cool.
All right, well, obviously, you know why I'm having you on today, because, I mean, we talk about it all the time, to be fair. Like, I'm, even this podcast, I started it to find ways to increase fulfillment in my life.
Right.
And what I've noticed is, typically I feel like people who have faith or find faith in any religion, obviously you're a Christian, but within any religion, they tend to be more fulfilled or have more direction. So I wanted to talk to you, obviously, because first of all, it's easier to talk to someone close to me.
Yeah.
And you're actually very devoted to Christianity. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be pretty worthwhile speaking to you. Let me ask you one thing, though. You know, I was talking to one of my family friends over the break, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's important, before we even talk about the lessons of Christianity, to like get into the idea that faith is important, faith makes us better people, XYZ. I was talking to one of my family friends, and she's religious. My family's religious, right?
Yeah.
A lot of my family's religious. She asked me, Rish, do you believe in God? And I went, yeah, I do. Like, I do. Like, mm-hmm. We've had this conversation before.
Yeah. Right?
Like, what did I say last time? You said that, like, in, at least in our logic, life comes from...
Yeah, so life cannot come from non-life.
No, that's what, exactly, so, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Then she replied saying, but Rish, like, that's fair, good point. Why does that make it God and not just like a higher life existence or like an alien or like even a simulation, right? Like, why do you say that you believe in God? And she's coming from a religious point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she believes in God.
Yeah.
She's devoted, like, she prays, XYZ, my family prays. But she asked me, like, why do you get to say that you believe in God just because life comes from life?
Yeah.
I swear to God, I've never been more stoned.
Mm.
Never.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to say.
Well, what is she kind of saying, if it's not God, like, what else? Is it like seeing the other options?
What is God for you then?
God is someone who is, first of all, like, the creator of all things. So he is to be worshipped and praised. He's perfect. And he has a perfect standard for us. And we have all fallen short of that perfect standard. You know, but on top of that, he's someone who is fair. He's loving. He truly cares about everybody. And yeah, he's just perfect. You know, this.
I know you, obviously your parents are religious,
yeah.
So it was an easy shift to make to just have faith in God, right? Because when your family household is built in a way where God is at the root of it, it's very easy to just accept or grow into it. It's almost like, you know, when. It's almost any, with any belief, if the belief is rooted in your household, you tend to grow up with that belief.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom did not have the same thing, right?
No. Or dad.
Yeah. So you're kind of speaking to someone who's... Actually, I came from a very religious background, but I would say more unaware or more or less... What do you think the word is?
Like, devoted, open...
Like,
oh, you're saying for you.
Like, I'm not as rooted into it as my parents.
Yeah, devoted.
Exactly.
I'd say. Yeah,
yeah. So I'm obviously trying to reconnect my roots.
Okay.
And the issue I'm struggling with is Stephen Bartlett. You know who Stephen Bartlett is?
No.
He's a Diary of a CEO. Like, he's the podcast host, sick guy. He basically says, and I agree with it to an extent, is that you can't really choose what you believe in the sense that this, we have beliefs in ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to just say, like, oh, I believe it, even when you don't.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a process to belief.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even when you mentally are changing something about yourself, you got to sort of step one, step two, step three, step four. You don't just say, I'm confident, and you just become confident, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You take action, and action or even proof of concept then shows belief.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part where I struggle with. It's that, like, I feel like having faith is a very good thing to have in your life, and I want to do it. I'm just struggling how to get there.
Yeah, well, first of all, I have to make it clear that my faith is not a blind faith. I don't have faith just because my parents have faith, right? Like, I've, you know, maybe that's where I was starting. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go to church and believe in God because you guys believe in God. But at some point, I had to think to myself, like, okay, why do I actually believe in God, you know? And I had to, you know, find a reasoning for that. And just like everything else, you know, when everything else you believe, you need evidence for it, right? And, you know, we can go into that about like the evidence. Yeah. So, well, first of all, you have to decide whether or not you believe in a God.
And
is that the first step?
That's the first step.
Why is that the first step?
Well, if you know, all religions pretty much have a God. And let's say for me as a Christian, I'm worshiping God. First, I have to decide if there is a God, right? That's pretty important. So I just looked at two scientific concepts. First of all, like when you're talking about life cannot come from non-life. The other one is called the fine-tuning of the universe. And so basically every single like atom and molecule on this earth, everything that is makes up the sustenance of this earth is fit perfectly for us to live. So let's say one thing was like off the mark or anything, it would just like we wouldn't be able to exist. We wouldn't be able to live. So the explanation for that is the multiverse, right? That's one explanation. The other one is just a crazy coincidence, which is insane odds. And the third one is a God. So in my opinion, the most logical answer there is a God.
Why?
Well, I just don't believe in the multiverse. Like, I don't know. There's no evidence beyond that. At least, you know, the idea of a God has been in existence for all of humanity, right? So I think that's more evidence for that than there is for like a multiverse. Well,
I guess it also comes from the fact that you said you believe that life comes from life.
So that on top of like life cannot come from non-life, even if there is a multiverse, it doesn't explain where life came from. Same with like the Big Bang Theory. It doesn't explain where life came from. And then from there, you kind of have to narrow down the religions. And that's probably the toughest part. For me, I kind of got down to just like Islam and Christianity. I had a lot of, like, I have some friends who are Islam or Muslim, and they were just like super devoted. And so I was like, dude, like, how are you this devoted, right? Like, one of my teammates who is Muslim, and like, he would be fasting and still like be playing a full soccer game. And I was like, wow, that's like, it's insane. I respect it a lot. So I kind of thought to myself, like, why, like, you truly believe that. So why do you believe that? And then I think everybody should do their research on that. I kind of just got to the conclusion that to me, Islam just seems like kind of,
well, it just wasn't your path, I guess.
No, I wouldn't say that. I think it's very close. Like, I think they teach good things, but I just think it's not true from, first of all, Muhammad's life, and also just the things that are in the Quran. You know, it seems like something the Bible warns about. You know, the things that will get you is not like, you know, the things that are like super evil, super far off, that like completely tempt you, right? It's the things that are so close to the truth that you think it's true, but it's really not. You know, and that's why I feel like it is with Islam. One of the things that really like was weird to me was, the main difference between Islam and Christianity is like, to me, Jesus is God. To them, Jesus is not God. But they also believe that Jesus was sinless, like he never sinned. But they believe he was a prophet, not a God. And they have a lot of prophets actually, like, but they also claim that all the prophets have never sinned. So like someone like Adam, they don't believe that it was a sin what Adam did, you know? And they also believe that Jesus will return, same way I believe Jesus will return. But it was just, that was kind of where the inconsistency was for me, is like, why is Jesus returning for you if he's not your God, if he's not your savior? Like, why would he return to, you know, defeat the Antichrist? So, I mean, I think anyone should do the research on their own. It's kind of hard to explain in a little time, but I think, yeah, you have to decide like why you believe Christianity over other religions. Cause I think, you know, there's valid arguments for that, but.
And the Bible resonated with you the most.
It did. Yeah, it did. But I don't think that I believe it's true.
Oh, not the proof because, is wrong. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah, not because it resonated with me, but because I truly believe that
it's true. You know?
Yeah. When was it, by the way?
I would say this is around like junior year when I really started to.
Low-key recently.
Recently, yeah. When I really started to like question why I believe and seek truth, you know, seek answers. And since then, I haven't found any, you know, thing to lead me away from it. So,
yeah, it's tough because let me ask you this as well. And I think I know the answer, but you would say from junior onwards, then you think you've become a better person.
It's tricky there. I don't know. What would you define a better person?
This is what I was going to get to. Cause one thing I tell myself, I believe in God, right?
Yeah.
And I think I also do believe in it because the idea of good and bad, that comes from, in my mind, a line of objectivity, right? Like there is
objective moral truth, right?
Objective good and objective bad for me.
Right.
Like as much as we can, like, and I know there's people out there that say everything's subjective. Fair enough. Like if you live a life where you believe there's subjective good and subjective bad, and you're living that life with fulfillment and happiness, good for you, genuinely. Like I said, I can't change my beliefs. I believe there is like an objective good. Like, for example, I'm not going to argue that like there are things that have happened in the past that I can confidently say in my heart that makes me say that's objectively bad, mm-hmm. right? So this idea of better, I guess, comes from the Bible from you, right?
That's, mm-hmm.
So in the sense of good and bad, you think you've lived?
I would say that I've lived, like since that point, I have been a better Christian. I've been a better follower of God, you know? It's tricky because the world's definition of better is different from God's definition of better, a biblical definition of better. So, yeah, I think every Christian, like once they start believing, they become better in following God. That's how I would put it, you know? Not necessarily a better person from a worldly standpoint, but they choose to follow God more, and like over time they're going to become closer and closer with God. So,
and belief in God, like, okay, let's talk about, let's just go on to Christianity right now, because I'm talking to a Christian, we may as well make it specific. Is being a Christian believing that Jesus was real, Jesus was God, what is it?
Being a Christian is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, believing that he died for you, and believing that, you know, he is the Son of God, that he is God in human form, and that he lived a perfect life, died for you, was resurrected, and through belief in him and accepting him as your Savior, we are then saved.
Okay, right? So this part, I saw you know George Janko?
Yes.
Okay, so I listened to his podcast as well, and also he's now turned his podcast into I guess he started his podcast now as like a Christian based podcast.
Nice.
And there was this clip where he talks about, who was it with? He asked this person, do you think you'll get into heaven? And she goes, I don't know. And he goes, getting into heaven isn't about the work you put in, in your life. It's about, like what you said, it's about having that acceptance that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So I guess it all stems back to the fact that even if you work or in accordance with what the Bible wants you to work, regardless, and it's actually about your beliefs.
Yeah.
Right? Because at the time of it, even if you work as much as you want, but you don't believe it, it seems like there was no point of it at all, no?
Yeah. So are you saying if, let's say someone who doesn't believe in Jesus
follows the Bible's orders, they still, according to the Bible, won't live a life that's supposed to be right and a life that gets them into heaven?
Yeah, they will not be in get into heaven, because even if you follow every commandment in the Bible, you're still a sinner, right? You're gonna sin. There's nobody on this earth ever who
has never sinned. Why would God create sinners?
It's our human nature. It's God. God did not create sinners. God created humans in his image with a free will. Okay. And that free will led them to sin. And I know you may ask, you know, is God giving them a free will, considering, you know, giving them the ability to sin? I don't know how I can answer that, but I know for a fact God does not force anybody to sin.
Then why would he create individuals that don't believe in God?
Well, God creates individuals, okay? He allows us to, I'd say like, get, like our human nature already is to sin because of the fall, right? Because of Adam and Eve, we are born sinners, right? So Adam and Eve were created, they weren't created sinners. They were created, you know, as, you know, God's image, the great out of God's image, and they were given a free will and they were tempted and they fell. And because of that, we all have, you know, this innate sinning nature in us. So what were you asking again?
Why would God create individuals that don't believe in God?
I wouldn't say this gets tricky because you get into the idea of like predestination and all that. So there is, predestination is biblical, and there is,
it is.
Which is something that I didn't know for a long time, but there is something called the elect, and the way is like humans justify it, right? Just, we don't have to justify it. It's God, is that none of us ourselves are deserving of heaven, right? So like everybody on this earth is condemned to death, condemned to hell. The fact that even that God saved even one person is holy, and it's a gift. Okay, people are, we are given this grace and this saving as a gift. Like we didn't earn it. So to say that, you know, why does God not save everybody? It's like if God saves anybody, it's a gift, right? It's not His fault that we are sinners, you know. So the fact that He even saves one person would be merciful, right? Because we have all fallen short of His perfect standard, and we are all condemned to hell. Because He is as a perfect God, He is a fair God. So His perfect standard is something that we have all fallen short of.
So back to this idea of gaining faith, right?
Yeah.
First step of the process is to ask yourself whether you believe in God.
Yeah.
Straight up. Second is then, you said, starting research.
Well, yeah. I think you should do research to see that kind of ties in with believing. Like, do research to see if you actually believe in it. I don't think you can just believe in it by just like thinking about it. Maybe you can, but I think you should do some research to see why, first of all, other people believe in their religions and why other people believe in your religions as well. You know?
And what does research look like? Actually getting the book, even like the Bible, the Quran, like all the religious books. I know there's a lot of big religions in the world. Hinduism is one. I come from background of Hinduism. Yeah. You come from background of Christianity. Each of them have a script in their religion. Do you think it's important that you take the time in your life to actually devote energy towards finding faith?
Yeah, I do. I obviously it's very difficult to read every single scriptural book. So I'd say a solution to that, like watch videos, like read articles about people who have, you know, done the research. You know, trust people who are smarter than you, you know. There are so many people out there who have, but everyone thinks about this stuff. Everyone thinks about, you know, well, is there an afterlife? Like, is there a God? So just trust people who have, you know, are credible and that write good articles. Like watch videos on it. That's what I did. I just watched a lot of YouTube videos, read a lot of articles, read some devotionals. Because I mean, most people don't have time to read the whole Quran, read the, you know, all these books. I think it's very difficult. So
this idea of afterlife is interesting. You know, I've never told anyone this, but my Common App, do you know who Ricky Gervais is?
Yeah.
So you know his whole thing about God?
No.
Okay. Well, he's atheist. So, but he was starring the show called Afterlife, and it's about, because Ricky Gervais is an atheist, he has this thing where like, he makes it pretty known that he doesn't believe in God.
Yeah.
And there's a documentary where, it's not a documentary, it's a TV show where he acts as like a character very similar to himself.
Like very similar to himself. I didn't hear that. Yeah.
And there's a scene, because he doesn't believe in afterlife, there's a scene, and this is the first time I've ever talked about this to anyone else. I wrote this about in my Common App. There's a scene in the show where he's at his office, something like that, I forgot what it was. There's a person that comes up to him and goes, what's the point in living if we're just going to die, right? Like, she asks, what's the point of living, right? If we're just going to die, why don't you just kill yourself now?
Mm-hmm. I know it's very like ruthless way of speaking.
Yeah, it's like what Nietzsche talked about. Yeah.
But it's a premise that I found was very interesting, right? Why live when there's an end? And his answer, despite having a very different belief yourself, stuck with me, which was, yes, you can believe in an afterlife, right? Some people don't, some people do. But there's certain things in life that you don't get back. And life is one of those things where you only have it once.
Mm-hmm.
At least in his belief, you only have it once. You can believe that you're reincarnated, but at least life as Rishi Karada, as Aaron Al, as Ricky Gervais is only one.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that is the beautiful thing about life because it can't be replayed like a movie. So every hug you give to a person, every thank you give to a person, every I love you you give to a person, you do it with passion. And that's the one thing that I went, that stuck with me. Because
mm-hmm.
his lack of belief in an afterlife is at least causing him now to have passion with every action he takes.
Yeah.
I know this is a shitty question to ask, but do you think because you believe in an afterlife, that reduces your motivation to take every moment as it comes?
No, not at all. Okay. I agree with what he said. Well, just because we believe in afterlife doesn't mean God didn't give us instructions to how to live on earth. We are given these instructions for a reason, you know? We are told to love those around us for a reason. And we have to understand that God is a very, like, God knows us, you know, he knows us personally. He knows that we have emotions, that we care about people and we love people. And what he said, repeat what he said about like why you do these things. Did he say it because of like with passion?
Yeah, he said you can believe in an afterlife or not, but you have one life. And
so do everything with like a passion.
And right? You never know when the last hug you're going to get, like yeah. when the last hug you can give to your mom, your dad, like yeah. you never know when it is. So you should give every single action you take with passion.
Yeah. So I think just wish that God says to do it for the glory of God, you know? Like when we do things for his glory. Like when one thing I was always told growing up, like when you go play sports, like do that for the glory of God, like represent Christ when you're playing sports, represent Christ in the classroom, you know, when you're talking with others, represent Christ. We should do all these things for the glory of God. We shouldn't look at this life as just like a pass through, you know, like we're preparing us for heaven, you know, it's not just, I'm not just here to just live my life and do whatever. Like, we have to be intentional with what we do, and we were given gifts by God, and we should do like use those to the best of our abilities, work as hard as we can, you know, don't just like sit around and do nothing, like be a good steward of your faith, you know, like be a good ambassador of Christ while you're on earth to like to make impact on those around you, you know.
How often do you pray?
Every day, like probably twice a day.
Every day, twice a day?
Yeah.
So that's, if my math is correct, I haven't done math in a while, 14 times a week at least?
Yeah.
Why? I know it's a weird question to ask, yeah. but why?
Well, I make sure to pray every morning and night just to, in the morning to set my day off right, to make sure I'm focused because Satan's real, bro, and he's very tricky, very deceptive. So if you're not focused at all times, he's going to get you. So I try to pray every morning to, you know, make sure I get my day off to a good start. And then at night, just to like, be thankful and like talk about what happened during the day and get ready for the next day, you know. But I think it's important to pray as much as you can whenever you're feeling down or tempted or anything. I think it's important to pray.
Well, what is a prayer? Is it you're asking for something?
It's just talking to God.
What does that look like? What does that feel like?
It's just having a conversation with, like, let's say your father, you know, someone who cares so much about you and knows everything about you. And, you know, yeah, obviously you can ask for things. God says to ask for things in the Bible, like to pray for the things that you want. And if it is in his will, he'll give it to you. As long as, you know, they're in a godly manner, obviously, like if you're asking for good things. But it's very comforting to pray. You know, it's just like whenever I'm stressed, worrying about things that ultimately aren't that important, it's very nice to, you know, just pray and help like calm yourself down and realize like why you're here and what you're here for. So,
and would you say it's a different conversation
each time? Yeah, for the most part, because it's a lot of the things I talk about when I'm praying is kind of like what happened during the day. Like, yo, thank you for this. You know, thank you for this.
Really? It's like that. It's like, not, I'm not trying to say casual, but it's very direct.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. When I think of prayers, when I think of prayers, I'm like, all right, you open up a script and you say the set lines, but you're actually having what seems like is a genuine conversation. It's on with like someone on the other line. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, well, there is what Jesus prayed is the Lord's Prayer. That is the thing. And that is, if Jesus did it, you should probably do it too. So the Lord's Prayer, I'm not like, you should definitely do that. But yeah, you should have a conversation with God. Like when you're praying, you're having a conversation with God. But make sure it's out in a respectful way, you know? Like don't just be talking to him like, I'm not going to be talking to him like I'm talking to like, you know, one of my boys in a way. But it's like, it's like a conversation in reverence, you know? It's like, God, thank you so much for what is, like, you know, for this. You're giving me this, you're giving me that. I pray for this tomorrow. Like, can I have peace knowing that you're in charge? Just, yeah, it is very, you know, don't look at it as some daunting thing that you have to open up your Bible and like, you know, read a script every time. No, it's a loving God. God is a loving God, and he wants to talk to you, you know, like he wants to converse with you. So, yeah, I say so. I think it's very, I've noticed days where I don't pray and days where I do pray, and dude, it really helps you to focus, you know, like get your day off right. And dude, when you're fighting against like the devil, the smallest things like that, like the smallest things like waking up right and getting your day off to a good start, it's very important because the devil is serious, man. It's very tricky. So
it's a good concept, because the reason I'm also having this conversation is what I've realized is, not even in a bad way, I hope this doesn't come off in a bad way, but what I've realized is a lot of people that I notice that are very successful, mm-hmm. and I was having this conversation with my old coach, he was in the military, and it was similar that, first, the definition of success is, for him, he defined it, and I think it was a really cool definition. It wasn't about money, it wasn't about, like, you know, acquiring that status,
yeah.
right? For him, success was about being the best in what you want and what you're giving yourself to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I've noticed is, by using that standard, the people that are very successful, I've noticed a correlation that it doesn't have to be Christianity, but they have faith
mm-hmm.
in God. They have faith in God, in the whole concept of God. Do you think... And I think we live in a culture where people may associate with religion. Mm-hmm. Similar to like I do. I associate with religion,
mm-hmm.
but I don't devote myself the way you do, for example. Mm-hmm. Do you think the world would be a better place if people devoted themselves to their faith or to a faith?
I think there'd be less fighting, for sure. Less conflict, because most religions teach good things, you know, objectively good things, like, you know, be nice to everybody, love those around you, like don't be greedy, like give to the poor, things like that. I think they're all great concepts, but you have to understand, just because they teach great things doesn't mean they're all true.
Of course.
I like what you were saying about the success thing. I think it's very important to define that success is not, you know, a status or wealth thing. It is, like, your definition of success is very good, and I think I do think in that sense Christians would be more successful, or people who are religious are more successful, because at least for me, I understand that there's only so much that I can control. You know, I say I'm filling out a job application. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work as hard as I can for the glory of God to, you know, write that job application and fill out a resume to the best of my ability, right? But once I turn that in, there's nothing I can do about that. For me to just sit there and stress like, oh, dude, like, I need this job. I need to get this back. That does nothing for me, because I have no control over it after that point. You know, I find comfort knowing, all right, God, I did what I can. I worked hard and I turned this in. whatever happens, happens, right? If it's your will for me to get this job, then it's your will, you know? So it takes a lot of like anxiety out of my life because it's like, dude, what, like, why am I worrying when I'm not even in control, you know? God, if I follow God's will, he's going to take care of me.
So you, faith for you is just believing that God has a path for you.
God, yeah, every day I pray that, like, God, I can follow the path you, like, you have for me. And I just pray that, you know, I just follow your will. I do believe he has a path for me and that he has my best interest in mind, you know? Sometimes we think that we have our best interest in mind. Like, God knows us better than we know ourselves. So I promise you that God's, you know, best interest for you is better than your best interest for you. That makes sense.
In the sense that
it's stress-free when you believe that 24/7. But obviously this is, you know, every once in a while you're like, you get stressed. You're going to get stressed because that thought goes away. Like, just living in the world, being in this environment, is impossible to, I guess, like, consistently be in that state of mind 24/7, right?
Yeah, I was talking to you about this the other day. I told you, I was like, yo, like, last night I had a existential crisis. You know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't like to say I get stressed out that easily, but I was just reading a book and then, like, I was 20 pages in, and for literally the next 20 minutes, I was just like zoning out because I was just like, yo, like, what's my purpose? Like, what am I actually doing with my life right now? You know, like, I have a dream life in mind, and I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know how to get there. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to attain that, right? Yeah. It was causing me to be fair, in that moment, I will actually openly say, I don't think it's a bad thing to say. I was low-key getting stressed in the moment.
Stress is very, I get stressed all the time.
I was just like, oh my God, like, this is, I am not doing what I'm not even close to what I want to be doing.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I had faith, that wouldn't happen that often.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And the first step is for me to forget faith. But when I was having that moment, I was just like, oh, shit, Grish. Like, I know it's a terrible thing to say, but I was like, for me, life could be so much easier right now if I just kind of just believe that. Like, I tell myself everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, everything happens for a reason. But I feel like I still have the free agency to act on it. Because if everything happens for a reason, I could sit in my bed
And do nothing.
Absolute jack shit.
Yeah, and that is very umbilical. So
that's the thing. Then, how do you actually believe that you have a path? Like, you're on track for a path, like a predestined path, right? Mm-hmm. But how do you believe that you can still wake up every day and take advantage of every action you take? That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, it's like, all right, when you're working out, dude, like, all you can do when you work out is push the weight. You know, you're technically not in control of if muscles form here or there, but you can go to the gym every day. You can eat well every day, and the results will probably come naturally, right? Have you noticed, like, results? Obviously,
we are not in control of the results.
That's a really good,
you know,
metaphor.
So,
just because I'm not in control of the results doesn't mean I'm not going to go to the gym and not going to eat well. I'm going to do these things, you know, because that's what I guess have to do in a way. But the results will come when the results come, right? I promise you. God will not, God loves you. Like, God, we have to understand, God loves you and God cares about you. I don't think that he would let you work your butt off, work hard every day, and then let you be homeless, right? Like, I don't think that's what God is. That's God's character. God truly cares about you. God truly loves you. So we have to understand that he has our best interest in mind, you know? So when you talk about, like, actions, right? Like, as long as we're acting, like, we do things for God's glory, like, he will reward us, you know? We have to understand. I keep saying it, but God truly loves us.
How important is patience, then?
Oh, super important, man. Super important. I mean, it's, bro, when you're consistently waiting for something, it plays with your mind, you know? You kind of start to think to yourself, like, does God really love me? Like, I'm waiting for so long. Does God really love me? But I promise you, he does. And at least everybody I know, even Christian or non-Christian, like they're having good lives. It works out in the end, even if at some point they were stressed or down in the bin. Like it works out for them, you know. And I think we just, bro, as a society, we all worry way too much. Like we're all obsessed of getting everything now, you know. Like I want to be the best now. I want to have a job now. Exactly. I want to have a relationship now. Like these are all things we want now. But it's like, if I trust that God has my best interest in heart, I don't have to worry about when the money comes in, like where I'm going to live, right? Like, I know that God has my back and that if I just follow his will, I'm gonna be okay.
He's giving you the map and it's in your will to follow the map.
Yeah. And you may ask, like, how do you know what God's will is for you? That's a bit of a tough question, but it's also like, if you're in the position where something's telling you to do something that's, in the Bible against something that's not out of the Bible, God's will is probably for you to do something that's like in the Bible, right? Mm. Let's say like you have to cheat your way to get into this position, or you don't cheat your way to get this position. Following God's will would probably be don't cheat your way to get into that position, right? Even though you may think, dude, but if I get this position, I'm going to be so happy and so successful and so fulfilled. I promise you that probably won't be the case, you know? Because that's how the devil gets you. What Satan always does is he tells you, like, look, Rishi, I have your best interest in mind. Don't listen to God. Listen to me. That's probably the biggest trick Satan plays on you, you know, thinking that, like telling you that he has your best interest.
Yo, I heard the craziest. I don't know why my content is just all like, one of my accounts is just all Christian.
It's good. It's good stuff, man.
Bro, if you saw my content, you would be like, you would doom scroll like never before, right?
Mine's just Marcus Rashford.
Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, you made the Champions League squad.
I'm rooting for him, man. I'm so sad.
But I was watching this reel of this guy telling a story, and it's the most, like, it's the crazy story. It's basically, it's obviously an analogy, right? Like,
yeah.
It's a story about this guy who is faced with God on one side and Satan on the other side. And he's on this fence. Maybe it's a story out of the Bible. I'm assuming it is. I'm sure it is. Like,
keep going. Yeah, we'll see.
And Satan basically just says, come, he's on a fence and it's like almost like 2 yards, right, on each side of the fence. And Satan's like, come to me, I'll give you whatever you want. I'll give you whatever you want. God's there silent, right? And this guy's going, I don't know which way to pick. Like, Satan's going to give me whatever I want. But God's right there. Like, I don't know which way to go. Do I jump on this side of the fence? Do I jump on this side of the fence?
Yeah.
Which way do I go? Finally, after a good long thought, right, he goes, screw it. I'm just going to stick on the fence. I'll stay on the fence.
Mm.
I'll have a bit of this side. I'll have a bit of this side. Right? I'm getting the best of both worlds.
All right.
Everything goes dark.
Yeah.
Satan comes out of nowhere and goes, the fence belongs to me.
Mm. Wow.
And I don't know why. That's good. Everything that, like, that had me.
Satan's a trickster, bro. Ever since, from the beginning of the Bible, where he's a serpent. Right? Like, he becomes a serpent to trick you. It's, bro, that's a great story. I think, like,
what does that mean, though? Like, what's that actually?
Well, it means you can't be 50-50, right? You can't be, okay, I'm gonna follow God 50% and follow the world 50%. I know, you gotta be all in, right?
And what is all in, even when you're able to, not able to, but like when you know that sinning is gonna happen?
It's,
because like you said, you can't,
yeah, you not can't sin, stop sinning, right?
But, but the Bible gives you the guidelines to how to not sin. Yeah. But is going all in just not sinning? What is it?
Going all in is, it's just accepting that, first of all, you are a sinner. You have to understand that you are a sinner and you need saving. And it is accepting Jesus as your savior, okay? It is saying, look, God, I can't do it myself. If I've tried to do it myself and I've failed, I need you to work in me. I need you to guide my life, you know? That's what going all in is. And it's not saying, oh, once you say that, you're good. You're going to, you know, live a perfect life. It's that constant struggle being like, dude, like you're still going to be tempted by saying the things of this world, but you have to fight it, man. You have to trust that, you know, this may seem good, you know, going out and doing whatever. This may seem good right now, but I know that God has the best interest in the heart. and that what he has for me is so much better than what this world offers. You know, that's what it really is. You have to put the desires of your heart aside, man. And that is, I've experienced it. I still struggle with that. It's one of the hardest things to do, man, because we live so long, like, enjoying the things of this world. To just completely switch outside of that is very difficult.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. But that's one thing, like, that I've learned is when I'm, like, trying to fight the sin in my life is, like, it just reinstates the fact that we can't do it alone and that we are not saved by our works. I'm not saved if I stop doing this sin. I'm not saved if I'm, like, you know, start doing all these good things, right? I'm saved because Jesus lived a perfect life and he died on the cross for me. So when I die and God looks at me, he's not going to look at my life and the works that I have done. He's looking at Jesus' life and been like, Jesus died for you.
Because of that,
I'm sorry. You said God is going to look at Jesus' life?
Yes.
But Jesus is not God.
Jesus is God.
So explain that. I'm a beginner, so I hope I haven't said anything bad there.
No, no, no. Okay. So that was the thing. But this is a concept that is beyond a human understanding. Okay. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they are three in one, okay? They are three distinct persons, but they are one being.
That's the thing in Hinduism, kind of.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's a concept. Like, humans, you can't explain it. It is, we have limited knowledge as humans. So, I mean, that's the best way to put it. It's very difficult to understand, but it is true. It's a thing. But yeah, like, bro, it's just so lucky. Like, God's not going to look at my life and be like, because clearly I'm not righteous enough. I just pulled a verse, Matthew 5:20. If your righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Pharisees were like the moral standard, like the, you know, the.
If your righteousness does not end, what is it? If your righteousness
does not exceed
the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So the Pharisees were like people who, you know, people who follow the commands the most. I say, not like, obviously not perfect people, but they're like, like people are like looked up to them and it's like, okay, these are like the, you know, there's some more, you know, like, you guys are doing the most good works. Okay. I'd say that, like, you're doing the most good works. You're avoiding sin. You're like, you're following the law, in the best way compared to everyone else. So Jesus kind of using that as a metaphor, like as like a perfection standard. Obviously Pharisees weren't perfect, but that's like the metaphor he's using. If your righteousness does not exceed that.
Does not exceed basic perfection.
Yes. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So you look at that like, okay, what? Like,
well, how the hell
so how, you get so how heaven? Am I going to get into heaven, yeah. Right?
That's where you have to think, like, that is the reason for Jesus' death, because none of us can do that. So why did Jesus die for us? Because he loved us. Like, that's literally it. Because he wants to be with us, you know? So he died for us because he loved us. And there are other verses you might hear like, oh, if you're, you know, the adulterer, the liar, the thief, the, like the homosexual, they would not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And again, you look at that like, okay, I've probably stolen something before. I probably lied before. Like, am I not going to go into heaven? And it's like, that's why you have to believe. That's why you have to accept Jesus as your savior. It's because by God's grace, you know, when we die and we believe in Jesus, he's going to, you know, look past your sins and be like, Jesus lived the perfect life, so I'm saving you. You know, and then when you think about that, it's like, bro, it's something insane. It's like, what did I do to deserve this? It's a true unconditional love, undeserving love. And it's just, there's no other way to describe it. This is a gift. It's mercy and it's a gift, because if Jesus didn't die for us, we'd all be going to hell, man.
I think it's extremely beneficial for someone to have gratitude every day, you know. Because even on a basic level, outside of religion, Israel Adesanya, you know Israel Adesanya, yeah, he came up with this thing where every day before going to bed, he would write three things he's grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
At least because of that exercise, he would go into every day looking for pieces to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very key way to be living in the present. And I struggle with that a lot. And I'm trying to start the gratitude part, but it's a tough line, because it's just like, it's to be so aware of it, to keep it in action all the time. But I think gratitude is the number one thing, right? And here's my, this is where it gets interesting though. What's your thoughts on pride?
Ooh, great question. This is something that's very recent to me. Like I've, for the past, like, since like the start of the semester, something I've struggled with a lot. Because pride for me, like the biggest struggles for me is when I see other Christians not acting in a Christianly manner. For me, that has been, it's super tough because I'm like, you know, oh, you call yourself a Christian, you act like that, you know, you act like this. And God's been telling me like, bro, you are the exact same as them, you know? You say you're a Christian, but you still sin like everybody else. So that has humbled me so much because it's like, Jesus, he lived a perfect life amongst the world. Like he lived New York City. Let's say he lived in New York City. He lived a perfect sinner's life.
Pulling up NYC?
Yeah, man. Around all these like evil people. And he was never once like judgmental. He taught them in a loving manner. But he never was like, oh God, like look at these people. Like, and look at me. Like I'm so perfect. He never did that and he was perfect. So how can I come here and be like, you know, do that? I can't. There's no way for me to be like, oh, look at all these people around me. Because like you're the exact same as them.
What is it? One of the seven deadly sins? Is that what it is?
Okay. Which is not in the Bible.
Let's get into a discussion. Because I actually think this is a good topic to have.
Yeah.
Obviously, from your point of view, like you just explained, pride is something that you shouldn't hold in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because maybe, tell me if I'm wrong, but that strips away the gratitude piece.
Well, it gets into the weeds of like, how are you saved? Am I saved because I'm a good Christian? Am I saved because I do these good things, like better than everyone else? No, I'm saved because it's a gift. I don't deserve, you know, this gift. So if I have pride in my life, it is taking away the work from Jesus. It is taking away the work from God. It is saying, oh, I've earned this somewhat. I have earned this eternal life to an extent, which is not true at all. I haven't earned nothing. I haven't done nothing to deserve it. And it was given to me as a gift. So pride is taken away from what Jesus has done.
Wait, but surely you can be proud of, let's say like what we were talking about before, right? God has given you the map. Can you not be proud of yourself for even following the map? Being pride at some level, it may be important, like at least like holding that like, damn, like I did that today. Like even on a basic level, like, yo, I woke up this morning, 6 o'clock, whatever time it was, on a weekend, 8 a.m., right? I don't have to make it like David Goggins, 5:30 in the morning.
That's
so.
You,
man. But I'm saying like, let's say it was a super hard day to get up, right? Yeah. Like the sun was, it was pouring down rain. It was shocking, right? But you still went to go for a run. You went to the gym. You even opened up a book, whatever it was. Can you not be saying, damn, I won that fight against myself? Can I not be proud of myself for that?
No, because if it wasn't God's will, you wouldn't be doing it. If God didn't allow you to wake up, you wouldn't be awake. If God didn't allow you to go on that run, you wouldn't be going on that run. Simple as that, you know? So it's, you have to replace the pride in your life with gratitude.
So we should be grateful to be able to go on a run.
Yes.
And we can't take pride in that. Because everything is an opportunity, maybe? Is that what the logic is?
Say
that like, isn't, we can't take pride in it because it's the opportunity. It's like, the fact that we can even do it is the opportunity.
I would replace pride with like happiness. Like you can be happy that, oh wow, this is like.
Well, what's the difference?
Happiness and pride?
Like as in like, what's the difference between like, obviously there is a difference. I guess your pride is maybe that you're taking ownership. Yeah, ownership over it. And is that not a good thing at all? Because if there is, okay.
In a Christian sense?
Here's the thing, if there's free will, right?
Mm-hmm.
Surely that there is some ownership over your actions.
There is ownership over your actions.
Is that what free will is?
Yeah, I am. Let's say I punch you. That is not God punching you. I'm punching you, okay? Yeah. But, yeah, so, I have free will. And I can't be like, oh, wait, that was God punching you, Rishi. Like, that wasn't me. That was God's will for me. Like, no, that's not. We have control of our actions. But, like, why do I have to be prideful in that? Why do I have to be prideful in the fact that I can run? You know, I think it's a dangerous thing to do because it's like, it's kind of a gateway. Oh, I'm prideful over this. Let me be prideful over that. Like,
oh, you think it opens up the pathway? It's a slippery slope.
Yeah, to like a works-based salvation. You know.
What does that mean?
A workspace salvation is like we were talking before. It's like, oh, I'm saved because I do these good things. That's what a works-based thing
is. But it's about accepting that you're saved because of...
Yeah, I'm telling you, I've done nothing to deserve it. I have, you know, and that this kind of ties into the whole idea of like predestination, the elect, you know? I always thought predestination was not biblical. Like there's no, like how is, you know, it contradicts free will, whatever. But it's like, that truly like solidifies the fact that God is in control and that everything you have is given to God. If there was no elect and no predestination, then there might be, like, you might find pride in your works, right? Because it's like, okay, even though it's not works-based salvation, I still have done these things. I've still done all these good things to, you know, believe. But, you know, with the idea of like election, it's like, even to the point of your salvation, even to the point of God choosing you and you doing these good things, you only do them because of God, you know?
Yeah, I'm not elected you. This part of the, this idea that it's an opportunity is actually, no, I'm saying you've actually made me think here. This idea that everything that we can do is an opportunity given, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I mean...
I like that idea because I think, like I said before, I want to be more grateful over the things I want, right? So, and I think that also causes action maybe, right? Maybe like by being grateful. Like,
let's say
maybe the fight would actually be easier when you wake up in the morning instead of saying, oh, I have to go to the gym.
Yeah, man.
You get to go to the gym. Yeah. You get to even like do whatever crap you want to do that you think is good for you, right?
Yeah.
It's that I do like that. It's the idea that you get to do it because there's days when I'm like, damn, like I have to go do this. Or even like,
me too.
It was piss pouring yesterday. It was supposed to be. Like it wasn't actually that bad.
But yeah, it was
not bad at all. Was it not like a storm warning?
It was.
It didn't happen. All right, whatever. So I thought it was a storm warning, and like I was telling my parents, and I was like, damn, like I still have to go to class, right? Yeah. And then, but how much of a jackass am I? Yeah. Like, bro. I get to go to NYU. I get to be in this esteemed facility where we're recording right now.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that I have to go to class because it's
bloody boring. For that.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
People die for that.
And I think even that small shift in perspective can just cause action. Because if you just get to say, I get to go to the gym, I get to go to class, I get to go for a run, you won't have to fight yourself to do it. You'll just be like, it is a privilege, not an obligation.
Yeah.
And everyone likes privileges. No one likes obligations.
Yeah. So, and with that comes so much joy, you know? You have so much more joy in your life when you're grateful. Because like, yo, I get to do this. You have more excitement and like you're just more happy in general. Like one thing, I believe George Janko said it too. He said like you cannot feel both anxiety and gratitude at the same time. Like your brain just does not allow that. So like you can't feel both at the same time. You know, so I think it's a good way to, you know, when you're anxious and stressed, just be grateful for what you have. Like, I think that was something I struggled with in the past. Like, I wanted so much more. Like, oh, I wanted, you know, why is my life not like this guy or whatever? But it's like, once you sit down and find peace, like, in the position you're in, man, it makes things so much easier.
Yeah, the one caveat I think I have, that is, so I get really bad personally with, so when anything bad happens in my life, right? Like, I think is bad happens in my life, I take this in a good and bad way. I'm the last person that I'd like to think complains about it openly. Just because I'm like, I believe that in the idea that there's someone who's had it worse, who's done it better, right? There's always someone who's had it worse. So like whatever happens to me right now, there's someone in some other country on the streets that's had it worse and if they can put a smile on their face, so can I. At the same time, every single time I tell any of my friends this, right? And this is why I'm a very private person when I think comes to like shit that like pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like talking about it because I'm just like, first of all, like how greedy am I, right? But second of all, at the same time, my friends tell me like, yo, like I'm not gonna lie, like it's okay to feel shit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't need to just always like feel like, you don't always need to feel
like you're on cloud nine.
You're on cloud nine, you know, because there are times when you can look in your life and be like, yeah, that could be better. This could have happened. So that, I think that's just the caveat where I'm like, yo, like that's where I struggle to commit. And I think that's what's causing me to open the doors to be like, damn, my life could be better right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's hard for me to close that door completely, you know?
Yeah, I think you can do that in like in a non-anxious way though, you know? But you can be like, oh, I could have done this better. I looking back on, you know, I have this test coming up and I probably didn't study for it as best as I could. You're like, oh, shoot, like, I got to study for it better next time. That's not like a stress thing. I'm not like stressing over, oh, dude, I did so bad. My life is over because I did bad on a test. It's like, okay, you can learn from your mistakes. You messed up. And now you just go forward, you know? You shouldn't like dwell on what happened. You should like move on. Be like, all right, next time I do this, I'm going to be better at it, you know? And I'm going to do it to the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something I struggle with a lot.
I know. Yeah, it's something I think about. It's hard for me to... I think the reason it's hard for me to be so grateful over everything, which I really want to be, is because I tell myself that nothing bad is truly happening in my life. And for me, without the ugly, you don't know the beautiful.
So who are you grateful to?
My parents, my friends, my mentors.
So you say it's like different every time, you know?
What do you mean it's different every time?
Like, I'd say for me, it's, I'm grateful to God every time, you know? And I feel like that kind of helps me in a way.
Like you're saying you have a singular source.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm not grateful for the people around me, but it's like, I know those people in my life will not be there if God, you know, didn't allow them to be there, you know? So I think that does help. I'm not saying I'm grateful, like, at all times, right? Like, I still struggle with that a lot. But it's like, it does help a little bit to... You know, like when I'm praying, it's like, thank you for everything. Because I know that everything stems from God, you know? So it makes it easier than to just like be grateful to certain people and certain things, because these people that you're grateful for can also let you down, you know? I'm sure there's times where you're with your parents like, dude, it's like the most annoying thing I've ever like experienced, right? Like they also let you down. When I talk to God, it's like, I'm the one letting you down, you know? Like you have not let me down. And so I'm grateful for that. And that's the... It makes it easier to be grateful than to rely on people that at the end of the day are not perfect. So,
yeah, because I guess if you have full faith in God, you know that he's the one in power.
Yeah.
So it's easier to be grateful for God.
Yeah.
All right. On a lighter note, what's your best lesson from God, you think? Like, or like, let's say your favorite verse, your lesson, whatever.
Best lesson. I like how we touched on the pride thing. I think that's one of my...
Is that one you struggle with? Like, do you think the pride one is the one you struggle with the most? Or is there another one that you struggle with a lot?
Another what?
Another lesson that God gives, but you struggle to completely enact?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that I struggle with. But I think those, a lot of the sins that I've struggled with over my life have kind of humbled me a lot. So like in relation to pride, because it's like, how can you claim that you, how can you be prideful when you just live, when you sin so much, you know? Like it doesn't make any sense. So a lot of the times I've been humbled through my sin, you know, and that kind of kills a lot of the pride, which is good. But, dude, if Jesus wasn't prideful, like, why are you prideful? You know, it makes no sense. Jesus is the perfect standard. So if he can live a life without boasting, without judgment, then and so can you. You know, you have no reason to be prideful.
There's this video I was watching with Chris Williamson, and I was looking at the comments. I can't remember the video, but I wrote it down just to ask you actually. One of the comments, I copied and pasted it down because I thought it was sick. There's a reason Christians pray, lead me not into temptation and not help me ease temptation. What's the difference?
So is let me ease temptation like fighting it?
Like, I'm in it, but I'm going to... It's one of those where like, you know, the way I thought right when I thought of it was like, imagine you're on a diet. What Christians would pray for is let me not even get near the burger. The other one is let me have the strength when I see the burger to just... Like every single time I have a burger, let me just fight it.
Oh yeah.
What's the difference? Like what's the main takeaway from that?
Well, one thing it talks about, especially in this point of sexual temptation, is like it says to flee from sexual temptation. It doesn't say fight it. It says flee, run away from it.
Lead me not into it. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's part of the Lord's Prayer, which is.
But why not why not have the strength to be able to fight it? Because surely you're going to counter it, right?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I can guess, you know, well, first of all, it's easier. It's easier to run away from something than to fight it head on. I think some of that comes with pride too. It's like, imagine how cocky you get if you be like, you're trying to fight the sin for so long. Well, like, let's say you're in the burger example, you're face to face with the burger and you don't eat it. You'd be like, yo, like, look at me. Like, I didn't eat this burger. I fought it. You know, I'm tough. You know, I think we have to understand that, like, why we're doing things. For me, I'm doing, like, you have to, as a Christian, live for God only, you know? And to live for God only, the easiest way to fight that temptation is to run away from it, you know, not to fight it head on. And it's not saying that God is not with you when you encounter it, but it definitely is smarter to run away. You see a big dude on the street trying to fight you, smarter to run away than to try and fight it, even if you win, right?
Yeah, you don't want the strength to fight it. You just don't want to be in a scenario where you need to fight.
Yeah, it's just smarter. It just makes things easier, even if you end up winning that fight. Doesn't mean it's the right decision, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was a cool... Yeah. Like, I thought it was a very interesting take. Because, you know, a lot of people pray for... Not pray, sorry. A lot of people in life that maybe they're not religious tend to look for... Like, for example, I'm going to just use a straight-up example what you just said with the big guy, right? The reason I initially started going into the gym was I got mugged in London and I started going. Yeah. But like, I was working out before, but I told myself, I'm like, I never want to be an easy target for anyone. Right. So that was like, it was kind of like the second part of the sentence. Like, I want to have the strength to ease it off, like ease that situation off. Yeah. But part of me is also like, why do you ever want to be in that scenario, right? Like, dude, like, what kind of like pride are you gonna get from like being able to just bend yourself off? Like, you'd rather not even be in that scenario in the first place. Yeah. So,
and like, what, bro? Like, for that example, what if they have a knife or something? Like, what if you're so good at the physical combat, and you're so much stronger than them, but they have a tool that they can just kill you with? Like, it's just stupid, you know. And you're only doing that for your own pride.
That is smart, actually. Yeah, that's true. I'm only saying because I want to steal myself. That's true.
Who cares? Like, just avoid the situation if you really want what's best for you, you know? Yeah. But another thing, like another lesson I would say is like trusting in God's plan completely. It's just the most important thing. I know I've said so many times before, but like one example of my life is like when I was coming here looking for a church, I think I went to like three different churches. And one of them, I went to like three times and I only went because like it was a bigger church. There's more people. I thought I'd meet like more, you know, people my age, you know, things like that. And every time I went, I just discernment like didn't hit me. Like all the signs were off, but I just kept going back because I'm like, you know, maybe one day, like, you know, I'll meet someone here. Like I want to be with these people. And then, so the one church that I try next is like this. I walk in, it's a small church, like the architecture is very old, bro. I was like, all right, this is not the church, man. Like, this is, I'm gonna get in here and like next week I'll be out, you know? Like right after the sermon ended, like, bro, this couple came up to talk to us and then we were just chatting. Next people started coming up to talk to us and they were just like so friendly, you know, and super willing to talk to us, super caring. And then that's the church I've been in ever since, you know? So like, when I was following my heart, I was like, all right, God, you want me to be at this church, right? Like, really, like, I want to be at this church, so you want me to be at this church. And it's like, oh, it's a church. Like, you, obviously, it's good to be here. But it's like, that was me following my heart, you know? Jeremiah 17 talks about, like, bro, who, like, do not trust your heart because, like, who can understand it, you know? Imagine all the things the heart is telling you to do. It's a wave, you know? It's like, it's super inconsistent. So it's very important to not trust your heart and to trust God, you know, put your emotions aside and follow God's desires instead, because God's desires are not changing. They're constant. They have never changed and never will. Your heart is the one thing that is consistently changing. So it's impossible to just follow it every time. Follow your heart is probably one of the worst like phrases I've ever heard. I think it's horrible, but yeah, don't follow your heart. Just trust yourself.
Love it, boss. So, I'm asking all my guests usually at the end of the episode, what's the best advice they've ever received? But because this is low-key a special episode, because you're speaking on, at least to me, from what you've learned from God, why don't you give me the best, I know we just talked about it pretty much, but give me the best verse, the best line that you carry.
Yeah, I'll say it's my phone background is probably like the, I'll choose that one. Galatians 1:10. I got this notification, sorry. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. That kind of, you know, every day, it's like, who are you? Like, why are you here? Like, are you here to serve other people and to please other people? Or are you here to serve God? You know, it really, I say this verse is more for the Christian, but it's still like, I'm living for God alone. And you have to do that if you are consider yourself a servant of Christ. You know, so when you're making certain decisions, you have to understand what God wants first. You know, you can't just go around living for the approval of others, because there are times where there'll be a conflict between the approval of others and the approval of Christ, you know, and you have to choose Christ every time, you know, even if you think that choosing the approval of others is going to make you happier or bring you more fulfillment. Like, you have to trust in God at all times and live for him alone, because if you don't, won't work out, won't be good.